Good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. We're busy working through a series on rediscovering what the purpose-driven life is all about. Out of the book by Rick Warren, a number of years ago, by the same title, The Purpose-Driven Life. And in the first week, we were reminded that God created us so that we may be the object of His love. And then last week we were reminded that as we respond to God's love to us, we respond to God. Our first purpose in life and our primary purpose in life is to respond to God in worship. And so life, our life is to be an object of worship, or a time of worship in everything that we do as we give ourselves to God. Well, today we want to look at our third reason, and we're going to discover that God made us, friends, to be a family. God made us to be part of His family. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have as many children share His glory. So friends, all things are to the glory of God. And the first thing that expresses that glory is the church, is those of us who belong to the family of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family and bring us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Friends, that's our second reason. We're to be part of God's family. Ever since COVID, the Church of God has really struggled. Many churches have closed their doors. Many churches have discovered that during the time of COVID, when people got used to being at home, watching a service on their screens or whatever it may be, that they got used to being away from each other. And many of those friends have just decided, well, it's much more comfortable having coffee in my home than coming to join with other people. But friends, there's no biblical motivation for that at all. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 reminds us that we are to love our spiritual family. The reality, friends, is our physical families are going to pass away. I've had two brothers that have passed away, a mother and a father. Of my nuclear family, I only have a sister that's left this side of eternity. But while I may have lost my two brothers and my mother and father, friends, I have added many other brothers and sisters to my family since then. I've got people, the Bible talks about, that stick even closer than a brother. People who I can rely on, probably even better than I could have relied on my own two brothers. So friends, our second purpose in life is caught up in this one word, fellowship. We're to be together. Oftentimes, you know, when they talk about us Baptists, they say we don't believe in fellowship. They say we believe in swallowship. Because every time we get together, we're eating something, swallowship. We spend time together and then we eat something together, swallowship. But friends, swallowship is friendship, fellowship, isn't it? I mean, when we weren't having tea after the morning service, it felt like the congregation was just coming and going and we were losing touch with each other. But since we've started tea again, we can connect with each other, can't we? So much easier to do that. Now, friends, Fellowship isn't just the 10 or 15 minutes we spend together after service on a Sunday morning. There's a lot more to fellowship. And this morning I want us to look at what it means to fulfill this purpose of fellowship. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21 says, "The person who loves God must love other believers." So friends, there's part of the key there. 1 Timothy, as Paul is writing to the church, to Timothy, who was a pastor of a church and was giving him instructions as to lead the church, he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. He says, "I am writing so that you may know how to live in the family of God." The family of God is the church. That's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The church isn't a club, friends. We don't just get together to play bowls. We get together, friends, for a purpose. We get together to support each other. Now, there are four different levels of fellowship I want us to be reminded about this morning. The first one is this: it's membership. If you really want to be part of a fellowship, you need to consider membership. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says this: "You are members of God's family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." Being a Christian, friends, isn't just a matter of believing. You can't just say, "Well, you know, I've believed Jesus, I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and now I'm on my way to heaven. I don't need to be part of anything else. All I need is Jesus." And you hear many people say that. "I don't need a church. All I need is Jesus." Now, friends, that may be true for salvation. But, friends, it's not true to the biblical message of being part of God's family. Because when Jesus becomes your brother, you automatically become the brother or sister of many, many others as well. How can you say you're a rugby player but never go to the rugby field? How can you say you're an orchestral member? Perhaps you play something like a tuba, or perhaps those big kettle drums, but you never join the orchestra. A tuba on its own, friends, sounds pretty weird. And playing the kettle drums, well, I suppose there are lots of people beating their own drum, isn't there? Friends, how can you be part of a team if you never go to be part of the team meetings, part of the team practices? We are reminded in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, "In Christ, we who form the, or many, form the body of Christ, and each member belongs to one another." That's what we're reminded of in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, friends, is a passage of scripture that talks about the different spiritual gifts. And God has gifted each of us with a specific spiritual gift. Now, if you have a spiritual gift and you're not being part of a church where you can use that spiritual gift, friends, the church is weakened by you not being a part of that. The word membership, friends, membership, you know, we use it so commonly today, membership of a club or a political party or whatever it may be. But the reality is, friends, the concept of membership, friends, found its beginning in the church. The church was the body which first spoke about being a member of that body. How do you become a member? What's the way that you become part of a particular church? Well, regardless of what you may believe about the method of baptism, the message of baptism is the same in all churches. The message of baptism, friend, is that through baptism you become a member of a church. As you go into the water, you die to the old life. As you come out of the water, you are resurrected to the new life in Christ. That's the picture of baptism. So what you're doing when you're baptized is you are moving away from the past. You're no longer associating that from the past, but you are identifying with that which for which Christ represents. You become part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 reminds us this. This is what we proclaim in word and action when we were baptized. Therefore, each of us is now a part of the resurrected body. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, this is what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we were lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. But when we were raised up out of the water, it was like the resurrection of Jesus. Friends, to be part of a congregation, to be part of a body of Christ, encourages us to be a member of that congregation. It's all good and well to sit on the sidelines and throw stones, but friends, we're encouraging you. if you don't have a spiritual home to which you belong, friends, find a spiritual home. If it's not going to be this one, make sure that it's another one. You can't be a lone ranger, Christian friends. We are designed to be part of a family. So, well, membership is the first step of being part of a family. The second step, friend, is friendship. Caring for each other. Learning to share with each other. If you read the story of the early church in the book of Acts chapter 2, you will discover that the one thing that they do was that daily they got together. Every day they shared with each other. They even went to the point that some of them who were wealthy sold the extra houses that they had so that they could give it to the church to support people who did not have worldly things. Friends, part of being part of a family is sharing. We share, first of all, friends, our experiences. We're reminded in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12, people learn from each other as iron sharpens iron. One thing about being part of a family is that you quickly learn how to be part of a family, isn't it? If you want to be part of a family, you will discover that the rest of your family will correct you when you're wrong, or they will encourage you when you've done something well, or they will praise you or support you or strengthen you or care for you when you're sick. Friends, part of being part of a family is sharing in each other's experiences. It's one of the reasons, friends, why we encourage sharing of testimonies on a Sunday morning or at other occasions, because we want to hear each other's story. A lot of people think that I'm the only one who kind of teach in this church. No, friends, that's not the case. Every one of us, friends, has the Holy Spirit living within us. Every one of us has the capacity to understand the Word of God in every single way that I, who have been trained to do that, can do that. Friends, the Holy Spirit can lead you into a truth that he may not have led me into yet. So it's our responsibility to share our experiences with each other, how we've got through difficulties and weaknesses. Secondly, we're to share our homes with each other. You know, the world in which we're living in, particularly since COVID, has resulted in quite a lot of isolation, hasn't it? People don't want you in their home anymore because they're scared you're going to bring some disease with you or some illness with you. And many of our homes, friends, have become this little cocoon where we don't invite people to come into. Did you know that for the first 300 years of the church's existence, the first 300 years of Christianity being part, the history of Christianity, there was not a single church that was built. Not one building that represented a church building. Because people met in homes. It was in their homes that they met with each other, that they cared for each other. It was the time, friends, when the church grew at its best. That's why we encourage people to become part of the smaller groups of the church, Bible studies or prayer meetings or whatever it may be, friends. Become part of the smaller groups, because it's in the individual interaction that we learn how to grow with each other. But we don't only grow in our homes, but we grow through our problems. When Patricia and I got married, like most young couples years and years ago, you know, we were arm, as they say in Afrikaans. Poor. We had the packing boxes that we brought our clothes with to our flat as our bedside tables. That's how we started out in marriage. That was the reality. Almost everything in our home, perhaps apart from our bed and our lounge, our settee, was something that somebody else had given to us. But friends, as we started out in marriage, as we struggled together, as we built a life together, as the Lord blessed us in different other ways, friends, it's that which strengthened our relationship. As we work together through the hardships of life, now we're there for each other. We've got each other's back. We support each other and we care for each other. And every church should be the same, friends. When we're going through difficulty, we should be there to support each other. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. So the challenge, friends, the challenge in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is this. It says this: do not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another as we do that. So the first step, friends, is membership, choosing to belong. The second step, friends, is fellowship, learning how to share with each other. The third step, friends, friendship, I should say, is partnership, doing our bit. Partnership, friends, is not only belonging, but being actively a part of that particular organization. Friends, that's what the church should be all about. Our task as believers, friends, is not to wait to be served. It's one of my gripes with these very, 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 very big churches. Oh, it's lovely to be part of a very, very, very big church. It's wonderful to be part of a church where there are thousands of people and you can sing together and it sounds wonderful. You can go to church together, friends. But the problem with big, big, big churches is that there are only a very few people who are involved in actually running that church. It's normally people who are paid by the people who are sitting back in the pews. But in a church like ours, friends, in a church like ours, everybody needs to do their part. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, we are partners together for God. Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There's a wonderful word in the Greek. It's a Greek word called allelos. It's found about 50 times in the New Testament. It's only a New Testament word. Allelos. You know what it means? What the word means? It means one another. One another. Allelos. And if you follow that phrase throughout the scriptures, you will discover that it talks about loving one another. It talks about caring for one another. It talks about praying for one another. It talks about supporting one another. Friends, 50 times in the New Testament, we are reminded that we are to be there for one another. We're to support each other regardless of what the other person may be going through. The famous Catholic lady who worked in the amongst the poor in India, Mother Teresa, you'll know her. Somebody asked Mother Teresa once, why do you help these people? So many of them are dying. Some of them don't smell very well. So many of them look so bad. This was Mother Teresa's answer. She says, every time I help bury a person who's died, every time I wash somebody who is ill or dirty, every time I put a bandage on somebody who needs to be cared for, I don't see their face, I see the face of Jesus. Every time I do something for somebody else, I'm doing it for Jesus. Friends, may we become like that. May we realize we're not serving each other. You're not serving me, or you're not serving the person next door. Friends, you're serving Jesus. And when we realize that, friends, then our service will be a lot sweeter and a lot easier. And finally, we're to be each other's family. We're to be each other's kin, as they talk about in the Americas. We'll talk about being friends with each other. Friends, that's what God wants us to be. He doesn't only want us to be a member. There are people who are members on our church members list who haven't darkened the day of our door of our church for many, many years. But if you ask them, must we take your name off the membership? They'll say, no, no, it's important for me to be a member. No, friends, a member is somebody who learns how to share. A member is somebody who learns and discovers what their part is. And a member is somebody, friends, who becomes part of the family. We're reminded in Acts chapter 2 that they were like family to each other. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says this, be devoted to each other like a loving family. There's another Greek word that's very helpful to understand. It's the word koinonia. It's the word that means fellowship. It means to be part of a body, to belong to each other. Friends, when we become part of God's family, we are automatically related to each other. We know that phrase, don't we? You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. When you become part of the family of God, friends, you have no choice who your family member is. God is the one who chooses our family. He is our Father. He is the one who puts His hand on some people and on others. Friends, He has brought us together. Therefore, we all belong to the same family. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, we know what real love is because Christ gave up His life for us. Then the verse carries on and says this, and so we ought also to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. The deepest level, friends, of fellowship is koinonia, is family, is being part and belonging to each other. It's not about kind of who you are. It's about who you belong to. Now, I've been at the bedside of people who have passed away. When you ask people who have passed away, when you're at the bedside of people, you don't hear them saying, where are my trophies? You don't hear them saying, bring me my bank cards. You don't hear them saying, bring me my jewelry or bring me my car. Friends, when you're at the bedside of people who are passing away, you hear them saying, where's my family? Where are the people that belong to me? That's who they want around them. They don't want the things, friends. They want the family. Friends, when we belong to God's family, then we belong to each other. How do you know whether you're part of God's family? Well, there are three verses, friends, that are a challenge to us. Am I truly part of God's family? Listen to these three verses. It's not me making this comment. This is the Word of God, which is passing comment on how you may understand yourself. The first verse is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. It says this, anyone who does not love other Christians does not belong to God. How's your love for the other Christians, friends? Do you love them or do you just tolerate them? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20 says this, those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. How do we treat our family? And finally, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. But if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. Friends, there's a song we used to sing in the past based on a scripture. They will know we are Christians They'll know we are Christians by our. Thank you. Friends, we are born into this family, not by our choice. God brought us into this family. We belong to each other. Look around you. They don't look like you, do they? People around you don't look the same, do they? Some are thinner. Some are perhaps a little wider like me. Some have got different color hair, different color skin. Some speak with different accents and different voices. But friends, we all belong to each other. Whether we like it or not, you are all God's children through faith in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 reminds us. Second purpose. Friends, our second purpose is fellowship. We belong to each other. Let's pray together. Help us, Lord, to recognize that by belonging to you, we belong to each other. Help us, Lord, to ensure that we foster those relationships. We build on them. We strengthen them in whatever possible way we can. And Lord, may the world be jealous of what they see amongst us. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.